Louise McSharry on 2FM.
With Cadbury Brunch. When you need a proper break, brunch.
Now though, what happens when you mix a Tinder match with a pandemic and lockdown? Well, as it turns out, falling in love and making a film, or at least that's what happened for filmmaker Michael David McKiernan, who is on the line with us now. Hello, Michael David.
Hello, good morning. How are you?
So I want to talk about the film and making the film, but first I think it's important that we just establish kind of the story, as it were. I really enjoyed watching the film, and I found this, like, what happened to you is bonkers, isn't it?
It's not your usual pandemic story, I don't think.
Yeah. No. So start at the beginning for me.
So at the end of February, I traveled to Chicago, which sounds like a luxury now considering the state of air travel. But I was there for a film festival, and I arrived on a Thursday evening, and on Friday I was walking around on my own and thought that a good idea would be to download Tinder and see if I could have a holiday romance while I was there.
Is that something that you've done before?
No, not at all. I rarely travel on my own at all, to be honest.
Yeah.
So that was a new thing for me.
Yeah, I'm just really sorry. I know I'm interrupting you. I'm just so interested in that. I've been with my husband for 11 years, and okay. I never got to do Tinder. So I'm just fascinated by, like, I just think it's so inspired. If you're away on your own, like, why wouldn't you see if you could get a bit of, like, crack and company? Anyway, it worked out well for you.
And it's certainly helpful to write on your Tinder bio when you're in Chicago that you're an Irish filmmaker there. Very briefly, I think.
Right.
That's a bonus point for people, maybe.
So that's what you did, anyway.
That's what I did, and I met this woman, Mimi, who was a filmmaker as well and a dog fosterer. So the match was pretty great straight away, and we spent 5 days together in Chicago, and we got on really well, and the chemistry was great, and we said, look, this has been lovely, but I don't know if I'll ever see you again. So goodbye for now. And when I got home to Ireland, we just kept in touch and, you know, sent a load of voice notes and messages. And then a little under 2 weeks later, Mimi decided to come over and spend some time in Ireland. She'd been here before and loved it. And she had a week off work. So she said, why don't I spend a few days with us and return to our holiday romance? And she arrived on March 13th, which, if anybody remembers, is the day that the schools shut down and the theatres closed and the bars closed. So we landed ourselves in the middle of a lockdown situation.
Yeah, so she ended up staying with you for a month, right?
She ended up staying with me for 2 months.
Sorry, okay, yeah, so more.
Yeah.
And what was that like?
It was really bizarre, I guess. I mean, initially when she arrived, you know, her trip was only supposed to be for 5 days. And then within a few days, you know, United Airlines had cancelled the flight and everything around the world was, you know, closing down. It felt like the end of the world. So it was a pretty extreme dating situation to be in, from matching on Tinder to then being forced to sort of indefinitely live together.
Mm.
What I will say, like, the 2 months that we spent together felt like 6 months of dating.
Mm.
Yeah, so it was pretty weird, but we got on really well, and we were really fortunate that we clicked as well as we did. And it worked out quite well.
Well, I have a little clip here of you talking about how feeling a little bit conscious in your own house when you suddenly had a live-in kind of partner, I suppose. Have a listen to this.
This is very new territory for me.
It is as if we've been, like, dating for years in that, like, we have such a normal routine together and go to the grocery store.
I'm a bit anxious about whether or not I'm a good house partner. You know, I'm a little bit self-conscious all of a sudden in the house. Where do I stand? What do I do with my hands?
Nervous.
I still feel really good about everything. I'm still really, really enjoying him.
So far, so good.
I found that really charming when you said you didn't know what to do with your hands.
But yeah, because I live on my own here with my dog, so we haven't been used to having someone around for so long.
And it is, I mean, these are the things, it is just so intimate to suddenly, you know, have this person. Because, you know, if you have a holiday romance for 5 days or someone comes to visit for a week or whatever, you can perform yourself at your highest level for a week or 5 days or whatever. But, you know, at some stage you have to get real, don't you?
Absolutely. I guess, like, in Chicago, I was really hamming up the Irish accent, so that would go down well. But then, exactly. Yeah, you have to kind of expose yourself then if you're going to live with someone.
Yeah. And I was talking to a colleague of mine about this, and she said to me, surely if she came over on March 13th, she knew that there was, you know, something going on, or there was a possibility of all of this. But of course, her decision to come over was partially influenced by something that had just happened in her life right before she met you, hadn't it?
Yeah. Two weeks before she had met me, she had gone through a pretty traumatic breakup. So I guess a part of her coming to Ireland was to have an escape from that, and to inject a bit of fun into her life. So there was that's the sort of context for her whimsical decision to come over here.
Yeah, which I totally understand, because, you know, we all know that feeling of like your life has kind of betrayed you a little bit when you're disappointed by someone. And, you know, the idea of, hey, I'm going to be a spontaneous person and go and do something that's going to make me feel good for a little while, even if it is maybe a little bit crazy, and particularly in the context of what was going on. We have a little clip here we can listen to this particular aspect.
I know myself from a previous breakup where I was cheated on, that, you know, it can come in waves, and when you least expect it, you'll get upset.
Like, today's a good day, and the day before yesterday was a good day, but yesterday and, like, just throughout the week, I've been having a really tough time.
And I know she doesn't need me to talk her through all of that stuff, because she has great people that she can FaceTime, but I think it's natural when I see her being upset that I just want to, you know, comfort her at least, or just, you know, hold her.
That must have been kind of hard to manage for you.
Yeah, I mean, it was a funny one, I guess. Like, no relationship will start off with both people having a totally clean slate. I think that's just, you know, contemporary life. You know, everybody brings their own sort of thing to each new thing that they start. So it's just a matter of navigating that and you know, setting up, you know, boundaries that we were both okay with, and that we could, you know, healthily live together.
And when did you decide, I mean, obviously you're both filmmakers, when did you decide that you were going to film yourselves through this process, or that it could maybe become a project for you?
Yeah, well, that's kind of the funny thing. Like, it didn't start off as us saying, okay, let's exploit this situation and make a movie. But I think just as our instincts as filmmakers to document and have footage to look back on in years to come. That's why we started filming, and the clips that you played there feature these video diaries that we shot outside in the car, and those are just really useful to have as, you know, a place to go and vent and talk about our situation and the pandemic and to be alone for a while. And then it wasn't until maybe a month that Mimi was here that I sat down with a lot of the footage and thought there might be something really interesting for an audience to watch and connect with. I pitched it to Galway Film Flat when I had a rough draft ready, and they've selected it, and that's where it's premiering this weekend.
So when you were looking at the footage, because I was really struck by the footage of you guys in the car, kind of having your private moments and your pieces to camera. But of course, if you're putting a film together, that means that you have to look at each other's private moments. When you were maybe speaking freely, were you at any stage nervous to look at Mimi's footage and see what she'd been saying?
No, I think we were very good with communicating between ourselves. So I didn't find anything in those diaries that shocked me or anything. And as well, when you sit down as an editor, then you kind of, your personal side of your brain switches off, and you view it more as a project.
Healthy compartmentalization. Very good. So I'm sure there will be people listening now who are dying to listen. How can they listen, or how can they see the film? Excuse me.
Yeah, so the film is titled How to Fall in Love in a Pandemic. And if you go into galwayfilmflat.com and search for it there, you'll be able to rent it until this evening.
Yeah, it's really lovely, I have to say. Like, I'm going to be completely honest with you, Michael David. I was like, I was expecting it to be kind of twee or something, or like a bit schmaltzy, but it's not at all. It's just very charming. It's a really enjoyable watch. And it's not long, is it?
No, it's only 11 minutes long, so it's a short documentary.
Yeah. So before I let you go, I have to ask, how are things with you and Mimi now? She's gone back to the States.
She did a guest flight back eventually, yeah. And we're great. We're still in touch. And I won't ruin the ending of the film or any potential sequels yet. But we're just taking it every day as it comes. And, you know, it's so hard to predict the future with the state of the world at the moment. Mm. So, you know, we don't speculate on anything like that. But
well, you mentioned potential sequels, so I'd say that's probably fairly optimistic. well, look, thank you so much and best of luck with the film. Michael David McKiernan, have a great one.
Thanks so much.
Thanks a million. Louise McSharry on 2FM. With Cadbury Brunch. When you need a proper break, brunch.